Thank you for inviting me here. So today I'm going to briefly talking about Chinese banking system and why they choose to do the bank management products now, because something changed in the banking system. Okay, my main contents is about six of them. First is overview of Chinese banking system. The second is introduction of MMPs in China, and then some basic data. The third, I'm talking about the mainstream analysis of current MMPs, like the dominant idea think about MMPs, and then alternative wheels of MMPs and how they work. The fifth I'm going to talking about, this kind of stuff will cause the financial instability, and the last one is the conclusion. For the Chinese banking system, before 1978 actually, there's almost no commercial bank. There's just one bank called the People's Republic Bank of China. That's only, they call the central bank, but the people or household can still deposit money in that bank. So it has some functions of being like a commercial bank, but they never never giving loans. They never do something, but you can deposit your money in there, but they don't give loans. So that we will say there's no bank. So we call that one central bank system. But after 1978, and the bank started growing, so we call that there are four major banks separated from the central bank. One is ICBC, Industrial and Commercial Bank of China. Another is Bank of China, and then Chinese Infrastructure Bank, and also there's a bank called Chinese Instruction Bank. So four major banks. But Chinese government think it's still not enough because their government revenue is not enough to spread all over the companies to help them to provide the money. So they think, oh, we need more banks. So from 1987 to 1994, there are a lot of different banks established. It's not all national owned. They call them joint stock banks. It's about 13 of them. And also there are three policy oriented banks. Like those three banks only do the things for the government. They call them policy oriented banks. And from 1994 to 2003, during that period, a lot of banks have a default, really bad loans. So they accumulate the default rate, accumulate the default loans. So the government doesn't know what's happened. So they think, oh, maybe those banks have less capitals, because if they increase the capital, then we'll help the bank to keep stable in their profit or revenue. So they said, oh, those banks need to increase their capital. So from then on, a lot of laws were issued, like the commercial bank laws, central bank laws were issued during that period. And then,
may I ask you, you said that quite many banks are established by government, or they were private in that period?
No, it's all government banks. But some of them, like the first four banks, are completely owned by the government. But then from 1987 to 1994, there are a few banks, like 13 banks, were established, but it was like joint stocks. Like some government-owned company put their money in the bank, and some government owed the bank too. And then there's the three policy-oriented banks. Those are all owned by government. But those banks are not really bank. They're policy-oriented. So they cannot, like, the household or the firms cannot deposit the money in those banks. Those banks can only issue loans. And if they wanted to clear the loans, the debts, they need to issue their bonds or something, try to get the reserves to clear their debts. So they cannot allow the household to put the money in their bank. That's the, we call that policy-oriented bank. And from 2003 to 2008, the government still think the bank's default rate still going up. So the government saying, oh, those banks might go bankrupted. So they asked those banks to go to public, issue their stock to the public. So, but by the way, how can they meet the criteria of being the public bank, like bank goes to public? The government input a lot of money, because by then, by 2008, no, I think by 2008, we have about like 2 trillion American dollars as our foreign reserves. So government put like almost $100 billion in those 4 big banks, try to make them go to public. That's the very big reforms in Chinese banking system. And why they do that? Because they think the purpose of this reform is to create really modern banks instead of the second tertiary. This I need to talk a little bit more, because before the bank really established, we only have one bank. That's not the like really the bank to function, like give people finance to help them to build up their investment or something like that. They're not really banks. They're just help to clear up the debts. But after, and then the only thing the Chinese firms or household can get money is from the treasury. And treasury will divide their money to different firms. Like whenever firms need the money, they will give the report to government and government will give them money. But since the banks were established, so they still have this kind of model, but then the banks, the firms who get the loan, never responsible for their debts. So the default rate goes really high. And then the government think, oh, the reason might be the bank is not a real bank. So they want them to be the real bank. So it's like a modern bank, and the treasury wouldn't do anything more. And that the banks to do things like the free market thing, the bank would choose the firm whenever need a loan, and then if they couldn't get loan because the firms are not good enough or something like that. So that's why I said they want them to change to the modern bank and instead of the second tertiary. At the beginning, when the bank was established, we call that the banks are second tertiary body. It's not like the bank. So from 2008 till now, the banks feel like they're so hard, the competition is really severe, and they couldn't earn a lot of profits. So they are thinking about how they're gonna operate their operations. So they do a lot of diversify their operation beyond the classic loans. Later I'll show the graphs shows that.
So may I ask, so nowadays, government has no say in the banking policy. I mean, in the policy of particular banks, individual banks. Every bank can do whatever it wishes.
That's a good question. Actually, a government was like so confused. They want the bank to do like the modern bank was doing, but they still wanted to like hold their hands on them and try to control them in some ways. If they want the banks to do whatever they want to do. So that's why there's a really confused things in China. Like, you know, the banker, the executive banker in really big banks is designed or it's nominated by the Chinese Communist Party. It's not like the really executive from the market. So it's really funny. Institution now. So that's why I couldn't answer that question, because it feels like it's a very special body they wanted them to be the bank, but they still want to control the banks. So it's very, very bad idea. I don't know, but it seems like that's a Chinese way of development, and they help the firms, but in some ways they stabilize the economy.
So the banking manager is responsible to the Communist Party or to the stockholders, or
there are two top executives. One is responsible for Communist Party and the bank. Another is like the manager of the bank. So they need to like balance, you know, it's really, really hard. I know. I was working in a bank like 15 years ago for 5 years. That when I find out those kind of situation, it's like, no, I'm not going to work in the bank. Because sometimes you find good firms, you want to give them a loan, but you can't. Because the party leader said you can't. Yeah. If the firms all hustle is really bad, and then, but the government wants to give them a loan, or they will say, oh, this bank should issue the loans to them, so you have to. It's really hard. Now it's getting a little better because they want the free market style, but still, the very important industry part still controlled by the government.
And may I have one more question? Uh-huh. We are speaking about government. I forgot that China is a big country, so government in this case means like central government of China or province government, local government?
Those are all included. Depend on where the bank is. Uh-huh. Like I said, the four big banks, they have branches all over the country. So if the headquarters said, oh, you should do that, or you shouldn't do that, the idea must come from the central government. Mm-hmm. And then even the branches in the cities and the local places, their banks are really hard to work and to issue loans because they need to accommodate the headquarters of their banks and the local government. So it's really, really hard.
Is there often a clash between the interest of the central government and the local bureaucrats? Is it often the case that there is some clash between what the central government wants and what the local bureaucrats want?
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the banks, I work in the Citibank, the one of the biggest joint stock bank. It's a little flexible. It's not like a really state-owned bank. It's a little flexible, but still hard. The fifth big bank in China, I worked there for 5 years. So I really got to know the details of how the bank really work. So I decided I got a PhD and then go to university and try to do research on banks.
And you call it Citibank? Is it some daughter of American Citibank? No,
we call it Citic. It's not Citibank.
Sorry,
yeah, Citic Bank. It's a like China. It's a long name, but it's just abbreviation of that.
So no Chinese bank is owned by some foreign company like some American bank?
There is. I'll show you later. I have the graphs on that. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question anyway. Yeah, I like that question, but really hard for foreigners to understand. So we call that the soft idea, you know. It's, you know, there's some hard idea, like hard rules you should follow, but in China, they always have the soft rules. And you don't know, so unless you work in China, you really know how they work. Wow, yeah, sorry for making you astonished about the banks. Okay, anyway. Yeah, if you want to do like business enterprises, it's really hard. Yeah, unless you don't want the money from any banks from China, you bring money into China, that would be very welcomed. You know. Okay. All right, this is the classification of the banks in China. I didn't do very details, but I did do something like combine some of the institutions together. So you can tell, like, that's the July 2016. I just did the graph right before I came here, because it's so hard with the baby to do work. I just tried to update the data a little bit. And then the 37 is the large commercial bank. That's the five large commercial banks, all state-owned. But even though they go to public, they have some like a public stockholders, but still it's pretty much owned by the government. And then they have the joint stock commercial bank. That's where I worked like 15 years ago. They're 19%. And there's a rural commercial bank. It wasn't the commercial bank, it was like credit union. But then Chinese government think the credit union is very hard because the default rate is really, really high. It's like 70% high. So they wanted those rural like financial institutions to be like the formal institution. So they changed them to the bank. We call that rural commercial bank. And also city commercial bank. So city commercial bank is the smaller, it's like a small banks compared to those two big banks. So they're smaller, they're like local banks. It's not like a large commercial bank and joint stock market. Those are the countries, like all over the country banks. And the other financial institution, 19%, there's like some private owned banks in China. Like 5 years ago, there's some private banks in China. There's also like the foreign banks in China. Like 8% of them are foreign banks. This compared to the whole total assets. I use the assets part to calculate the data. So since the Chinese banking system is like that, and then the competition is really hard, and then there's a lot of new banks coming out, like a local commercial bank, local rural bank, local city bank, and some private bank coming out. So the competition is getting really, really bad. And the banks were thinking, what should they do? Also, the Chinese government was, before 2008, the Chinese government set up the bank's deposit rate and the loan rate. So the banks, even though they're like market, they belong to free market, but they cannot set up their deposit rate and loan rate. After 2008, I think it's after 2008, they started to let the banks to do their own rate, but they gave them like the limitation. Like at the beginning, they only can do the loan rate, loan interest rate is like 10% top and 10% low. So that's the ceiling and floor. They will do like that limitation. But after 2014, they asked the bank to do, we call that interest rate marketization, we call that. So the banks feels like, oh, it's even harder for them because they need to compete on getting the deposit from the household or firms. Also, they compete for the big or good firms to issue loans. So they feel so hard, the environment is getting hard. So they think about to do other things. Here, I just give you a little bit data, because there's a lot of banks. I choose some big banks and rural banks, commercial banks, and the very specific one to show you how they change. Look, the blue part, the big blue column part, shows the loans. This is the biggest Chinese commercial banks owned by the government. Belongs to big, large commercial bank. So this is the biggest one called ICBC, the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China. It's very big. And it's even the top, one of the top banks all over the world now. I think it's number 10 or number 15. I cannot remember exactly the level, but it's one of the biggest in China. But you can see the light blue part. Light blue, they increase very much. That's the one I'm going to talk about, money management products. So their loans growing for a big commercial bank, you can see their loans growing, but their MMP is growing too. And I'll show you another one. This is called the China Merchant Bank. It's one of the joint stock banks. And the green part is their MMPs, goes up. And then the big part still is the commercial loans. And this is we call the Chongqing Rural Commercial Bank, because this data is very easy to get, so that's why I got the data. And you can tell their loans is smaller than the first two big banks, but the lighter purple one is their money manager products. So, and this, okay, I think I missed the one. Oh no. And this is Bank of the Ningbo. This is the private bank. It's very small, local private banks. So you can tell their loans are very small now compared to other big banks, but the red one is the MMPs, because their space of make a living is really hard, so they need to think about other things. Okay, that's the private owned bank. Okay, and so as I just gave you the very brief background about the why the bank switched to money manager products, and this graph shows how the money managed products grows from 2005 to 2015. You can see even the growth rate is going down a little bit, because the government tries so hard to supervise that, but the amount is still going up. And this is 2003 to 2015 Chinese GDP and the growth rate in China. You can see their GDP is growing faster too, but I mean, the growth rate is going down, so a lot of people worry about China gonna go to depression, so it is really a big issue now in China. Also, there's a lot of things like a local government debts I'm going to talking about. So this is MMPs to GDP ratio. You can say to GDP ratio, it's really grows up a lot. So the first thing I showed how much and how big growing the MMPs, and the second I'm getting to tell you something about this MMPs, because they're getting more complex and risky. It's not like beginning. I'll show you the mechanism later about the MMP, how they work. At the beginning, it's like everybody knows the bank's balance sheet. It's like we know the bank's balance sheet. At the beginning, they make loans and then create a deposit. So since it's hard for them to get good firms to make loans to them, so they think about, I should do something else on the asset side. So they do they issue their own bank money manager products, and then they create deposit. So they change the asset part. But let's say there's I illustrate three different one here. One is called break-even fixed products. It's like the products that issued on the bank balance sheet. It's on the bank balance sheet. And then they start to go to the break-even floating product. It's still on the balance sheet, but the interest rate floating. It's like those kind of products, their interest rate floating with the market rates. But the third one we call non-break-even product. That's, you can tell the green column goes really, really big. And that's the one, it's not on the bank balance sheet. But I'll show you why the bank still wants to do it. What kind of benefit the bank can get from it. even it's off balance sheet, but they do some, so that's why I call that shadow banking. I call that shadow banking. It's off balance sheet. It's very complex and risky. So since they're more complex and more risky, so there's a lot of defaults happen on MMPs. From 2008, the first the banks have the negative return on their MMP. That's the first time. And in 2009, the data shows almost 103 kinds of MMP got negative returns, a lot of negative returns. And in 2011, 2012, many banks' MMPs default, and they try to create a new MMPs to hedge the risk. Since then, overnight rate between banks fluctuate. Because they, like what I just said, some of the products, the products is not on their balance sheet. But as soon as it goes default, it goes back to the bank's balance sheet. So the banks need to look for the reserves to clear the debts. So that's why the reserve rate goes up in China. The really tall, the highest interest rate in China is 2014. That's where the default goes really high. And after that, the interest rate still, look, you can tell the overnight bank rate, interest rate is going down, but that's because the Chinese central bank tried to issue more reserve than put into the market. It's not because they don't need it. Still very tight, the reserves, the market for reserves are very tight. Okay.
I'm sorry, may I ask you what is roughly inflation in China now? That interbank overnight rate is like 5%?
The inflation rate is very long. It's like 2%.
So in real terms, this is pretty high interest rate?
Yeah, for them, yeah. Some parts, even the beginning of this month, is beginning of this year, so it's like a 1.5% the inflation rate. The inflation rate is not high at all. That's why even the central banks issue a lot of reserve and put into market. Everybody think, oh, it was going to cause the inflation, but it doesn't. And it didn't cause the inflation. It all goes to those kinds of products. All goes to real estate market. Okay, so now I'm going to talking about why people have so much interest to do those MMPs. And one idea of that is because people think MMP are a good way, it's not people think, it's academic, economists, the mainstream think, to help commercial bank to flow interest rates, since most bank difference between deposit and loan rate are narrow, the competition between banks are getting more severe. So they wanted to find other ways to earn their earlier profits. Also, they think commercial bank could be more efficient if they do shadow bank. They think, oh, if the banks can always do the classical loans, issue loans for the firms, that's really bad. That's not a modern bank. The modern bank is if you could do something off your balance sheet and you earn a huge amount of profit from that, that's a really modern bank. That's their idea. So they moved assets off balance sheet. This will promote bank sector's innovation. It's that innovation is coming from there. It's not from the balance sheet operation. The third, they said investors could have more channels to invest and earn more returns instead of holding bank saving account. You know, China actually is a big, it's a country for the household to save their, they have a huge amount of deposit in the banks. So they all think, oh, this is a bad idea because you only can get deposit interest earnings from the bank. So they think, oh, we should provide more channels for the investors to do. Let's encourage the banks to do MMPs. So, but actually that was true. If you guys could visit China, as always long lines in front of you. You cannot do any banking things because people always surrounding the bank staff and ask, oh, what's this product's profit or returns going to be? What's that going to be? So they're in long line trying to buy those kind of products because they don't know what's happened to that. Until one day those products go default, oh, they figure out, oh, it must be something wrong. So I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that. So there's no risk. They also think there's no risk for commercial banks. Think the banks are just the intermediary for the investors and the firms, hence won't cause any systematic financial problems. They think, oh, this is also banks' things. Banks also have this. Banks issue their deposit. It's like a banks issue another thing. So since the banks all belongs to government, so it won't go bad. That's what they saw. So people just in a hurry to go buy this instead of the stock. You know, Chinese stock market is going like a rolling like up and down really heavily. So they want to go this kind of product because they give you the stable revenue. That's what they saw. Okay, let me talk about the idea. That this is actually one of the paper I published. Also, I present this in the post-Keynesian conference in Berlin once. So let me give you an alternative idea based on a post-Keynesian monetary theory to see how risky those kind of products is and how they will cause the systematic problems, financial problems. So we know all the money based on the post-Keynesian theory are debts. So government issued money is government debts. Banks issue money, like bank deposit, is a bank debts. And then the private part, they issue their money, that's their debts. Money is IOU based on post-Keynesian ideas. So that's why I based on this theory, and I'm going to talking about how the MMP works in Chinese bank. Like what I just said, and remember the graph I showed three different kinds of MMPs? At the beginning, the MMP really is what the banks issued. So it should belong to the bank money. So it's in the middle part. It's safe. But then when it's evolved, it goes to very risky. So based on this post-Keynesian monetary theory, I'm going to talk about something. One is banks are effort of the economy. Banks loan create liability with the bank deposit. Bank needs central bank money to clear their debts. That's what the pyramid showed. And second, the private debts need to be cleared by state money or bank money. Three, state money is the highest in hierarchy of the money clearing the debt denominated in the domestic currency. That's what most post-Keynesian monetary theory talking about. Okay, here. This is a graph shows how MMP worked in China. So we can tell, I'm just illustrating the third part, the really complicated part about MMP. Can you see it? Is that clear for you? Okay, so the first, it's actually financial company. We call that, it's not bank, it's financial company. I use the trust company to be the example. So if some company needs some money and they cannot get loans from banks, or the competition is really hard, the banks cannot give them loans, so they go to the trust. And then the trust company buy those kind of companies' financial needs. It's like the left side, by the left needs, the financial need, and then they issue their own liability. That's the trust company's liability. We call it financial products. We call it financial products. And then, so if they got the needs, I use a plus, you can say, if the firms have the financial needs, their increase, and then they have the financial product issued. The second, but even those financial products that the trust company issue, that's the trust company debts. So no investor is going to buy this because they're in Chinese history, there's a lot of crisis on trust company. So nobody buy the financial products from the trust company. So the trust company have to work with the banks to sell their products. So it goes to the second one. The trust company, the financial company, they sell their financial products to the banks and then they get deposit. That's the second one. And the third one is the investors. The investors' deposits goes down and the financial products goes up. So that's the number three. And number four is because the financial company and the firm and the investors all had the deposit or reserve account in the banks. So for the banks, they didn't change it at all. The banks is, if the financial company could sell those products through the banks, what the bank's balance sheet is gonna change? The financial company's deposit gonna goes up and the investors' deposit gonna goes down. So for the whole bank, the individual bank, their balance sheet doesn't change. That's why the bank think, oh, I should sell those MMPs. I don't know whether you guys understand what I said. It's like those MMP products, it's not really what the bank issued. It's like a trust company issue. And why the investor won't go buy those things from the trust company? Because they won't trust them. They don't trust their debt because their debt belongs to the lower level. Like the pyramid is in the very lower level. So they don't trust them. They want to go buy something from the bank. But it's a trick. It's not the bank's MMPs. It's actually other financial companies. It could be financial company, could be some firms. It could be anybody else products. But why the banks want to do it? Because their balance sheet didn't change at all. Because if the trust company can sell their debts to the investors in the bank's account goes. Their deposit goes down, but the financial company deposit goes up. I don't know. Yeah, you have a problem on that?
No, I don't understand exactly how the bank. So it's just a middle bank, but it actually doesn't buy these MMPs. Or
you mean banks?
Yeah, banks.
Banks didn't buy. Bank don't use their balance sheet to do anything. But why the banks involved to that? Because they want those investors buy those kind of products. They want attract a lot of investors to come here to buy those financial companies' debts. And in that way, the financial company will put their deposit in this bank. Also, investors will put in their deposit in this bank. So the banks could get more reserves to clear their debts. For the banks, their balance sheet didn't change at all. Do you have?
Can I ask you, what is the difference between CDO and MMPs?
Between what?
CDO.
This is not CDO. The CDO is like it's like mortgage-backed securities. We didn't do that kind of security. Those are just simple debts. You know, those are just simple debts that the trust company issue. But they're gonna do even more later. This is the first stage. I think they will update their level of building up the debts. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the banks, their asset and the liability didn't change at all. And why the banks want to do that? Because if the, a lot of financial firms cooperated with them and to come to their bank to issue their own debts and sell in this bank, that will build up the bank's reputation. And for the banks, they can earn a lot of commission from that. You know, like that's their off-balance earnings, or we call that, there's a word called off-balance earnings, something like that. Like you don't need to do something on your balance sheet, you can get a lot of earnings. And the investors think, but the problem is, investors think, oh, this is bank debt. It's exactly like a bank deposit. Exactly like bank issue loans, create a deposit. That's why it just in a hurry to attract a lot of investors to buy them. Since I'm doing research on this part, so a lot of my friends come over to me and say, oh, do you think I should buy those kind of MNPs? I said, oh, it belongs to you, but tell them the details of that, but I never buy it. Because I worked in a bank, I know what happened to that. Because banks never responsible for that. If it goes default, banks say, oh, here, look at the agreement. It shows it's not our debt, it's not our problem. It's you bought the somebody else's debt. That's what the thing. But in this way, you can tell, it meet everybody's needs. They meet the firm's need, and meet the bank's need, and meet the investor's needs. And the financial trust the company also very happy. Why they're very happy? Because if the company have the financial needs, I mean, like the firms need some loans, but they cannot really get formal loans from the banks, and they can do this kind of things. So that create a lot of risk on them. Because why the bank won't give the loans to those kind of firms? Because they're riskier. So that will encourage the financial firms to do very risky things. That's why the default risk goes up. That's one of the things. Okay. So based on the mechanism, I have a little bit of ideas on that and just summarize those here. One is bank's MMP is in the name of the bank, it's not bank's liability at all. In the name of bank, but it's not bank's liability. Second, MMPs are private debts, need to clear about bank money. Banks act as a lender of the last resort of MMPs. So that's why those kind of financial firms really want to go to bank to cooperate with the banks, because if there's something happen, the banks have to save them, have to save them in some sense. The third, banks provide some intangible guarantee for MMPs, and central bank is the lender of last resort for bank. So even though those are not bank liabilities, not on the bank's balance sheet, but investors trusted, oh, those are banks. So those are like some guarantees. So those kind of products are sold really easily, and the investors are in a hurry to get those kind of products. The fourth, MMP invests in the fields and bank loans are not allowed. Most of them are higher risk, like I just said. The former bank won't give them a loan. So it's higher risk. They mostly invested in real estate, all the local debts, and also some assets like in the high risk in China. So since that, financial fragility arose from MMPs. The first, for the banks, since they face severe competition, MMP encourages banks to do more risky off-balance sheet operation, which will deteriorate their balance sheet if MMP goes bad. So like the balance sheet I told you, it didn't hurt the, if the product doesn't go bad, it didn't hurt the bank. But when the product goes bad, and then those financial trusts, if, like for example, it goes default, those kind of product goes default, the investors won't come to withdraw their money. Okay, and the financial firms don't have the reserves to help to let those investors to withdraw money. They will go to the bank and say, oh, can you provide us some loans or provide our reserve? It's like lender of the last resort for them. Okay, the second, the financial firms who issue MMP are mostly shadow banks. So most of the money flows to very risky area like real estate, local government, and some highly indebted sectors. And if the debt goes bad, this financial firm will go to bank to clear the debt, which forced the overnight rate to rise or triggering some defaults. So the banks need to help them to borrow the reserves from other banks or from central banks, but if they can, the interest rate will go up. Otherwise, it goes default. Those kind of products. The third, investors hope to get high returns on their asset, but those MMP are mostly higher risk asset, and return are not guarantees. So investor doesn't know what happened in the financial field. They think, oh, if they could give me the higher interest rate, that would be a good idea because it's from bank, they have high interest rate. They don't care about the risk is. So they just go ahead, buy it. You never question, oh, why you have this higher return on that? Some of the return is like 13% or 20% yield to year, I mean. It's really high. They will, some of them, they really get it. They were like, oh, I earned 10% only half year. Why you wouldn't do that? I didn't get default. That's most of my friends come to me and said, oh, it's not like what you said. It won't go default. And for the whole financial system, a liquidity crisis could happen first and then generate an insolvency crisis. Why I said that? Because at the beginning, if a lot of default happens, the banks have to going around to look for the reserve to clear the debts. That's a liquidity crisis. But the problem is if those products are really bad products, but mostly are bad, so and then they will cause the insolvency crisis because those products' price will going down and cause the insolvency crisis. And for the supervisor, it's hard to figure out and supervise MMP since they're facing, their face changing. So you don't know, like for former banks loans, you can easily to know what kind of loan you issue to which kind of company or firms, but like those kind of things, you cannot see at all because they're all hiding. You say, oh, I have a project, I need money, now I buy those kinds of needs and issue my own debts, and then debts goes to investors. So it's just face changing. And the sixth, the whole financial system will be kidnapped by the banking, shadow banking. Actually, now it is. As you know, the Chinese banking system's default rate is going up from last year to 15% now. It was, before last year, it was like less than 1.5%. It goes up really high now. It's like 10 times in 1 or 2 years. Those are mostly kidnapped by those shadow banking system. So since MMP evolved, like what I said, but in the Minsky view, why is that? First, we know the hedge finance is like what I just classified. It's like break-even fixed return products. So the beginning of the development of MMPs are mostly bank liabilities. Banks bought treasury bills and the money market funds, which have lower risk with a higher return for the investors than the bank deposit. So at this age, it's mostly the hedge fund finance. And then it goes to speculative finance. So you call that break-even floating return MMPs. From 2009 to 2012, MMPs in China were issued through a cooperation between banks and trusts and some other financial firms. This product mostly go to real estate, local government platform. This is local government, the financial platform. Oh, if you have question on that, I'll say more later. But and the returns depend on asset price rising. They invest in those kind of things. The returns is not depend on their earnings or incomes. It depends on how much the asset price goes up. The last one is Ponzi finance. It's called a non-break-even floating return MMPs. So it's no guarantee at all for the principal and interest. And but people also want to buy it because they have a high interest rate, high returns for them. So from 2012, MMP has a lot of defaults and the banks and financial firms started to innovate like the so-called asset pool MMPs. That's another presentation about. So how the asset pool MMPs work becomes very popular. It's a little like the CDOs, what he mentioned. It's a little like. So they put all those kind of financial products in the pool, and then they cooperate with the banks and they make the pool as a back, like a guarantee. And then based on that mortgage, and they issue a lot of other assets. It's a little like the American CDOs. I'm guessing they're doing CDO Square and CDO Cube soon, but I'm not sure. And also there's the bad news, and Chinese banking supervisor, they allow the banks to do CDS now too. It's not like what AIG was doing in CDOs. So in order to finance some higher risk asset, banks securitized some MMPs and issue a package of MMP square, etc. This is really a Ponzi financial stage. Okay, so I didn't do the MMP square part since the time is not allowed. So if you have interest, I'll do next time if I could. Anyway, so let's go to the conclusion. I don't know, did I make the time right?
Almost 6.
Okay, good. So the conclusion is MMP in the bank is not bank's liability. They're the IOU of financial firms, and they need the banks to be the lender of last resort. The second, more funds goes to higher in, because the banks are all doing those, they feel this is so popular. So a lot of funds goes to the high risk sectors, and the deaths from that evolve from hedge position to the Ponzi. And the possibility that the debt default increase will lead to systematic crisis in China. Actually, this already happened. Already happened in China. Default rate's really high now. So the last part is about recommended policies. The first, MMP in China need to be restricted, and the bank should pay more attention to good underwriting, hence to block financial fragility. Second, on the other hand, some financial firms can be converted to become community banks for the local communities. They won't have their space to survive. So since Minsky have the the community bank plans in US, so I'm thinking maybe this is a good idea for them to do the local finance things. You know, China now, there's a very popular idea about inclusive finance now. Chinese government and Chinese central bank put a lot of attention on that. They want to do inclusive, but they don't know how to do. I think the community bank is going to be a good idea for that. The third, to decrease inequality by creating jobs will move investors' attention from MMPs to real sectors. Another big issue in China now is the real sector's investment ratio is going really low. People are catering for the financial part. So if they could do decrease those kind of products, like CDO, MMP square or something, they can move the resources from the financial part to the real part, real sector. I think that's going to be a good idea. Okay, I'm done. Thank you.